It's Monday morning. My name is Jeff Humfeld. Welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio. On today's edition of Jaws of Justice Radio, host Melvin Merritt and new host Eric Faulkner talk with Carla Brewer.
She is the Client Services Director for Hope Faith Ministries.
Have those pads and pencils ready for our calendar in the middle of the show. Then we talk with Richard Tripp about the upcoming spring break for the homeless. And to round out our show, we play Elizabeth Anderson's interview with police officer Rebecca Castor, the new LGBT liaison for the KC Police Department. This interview was originally aired on the 10th Voice, which you can hear on Saturdays at 1 p.m. on KKFI. And as always, the 420 Drug War News after the show. Now, here's Eric and Melvin with Carla.
Good morning. You're in tune to Jaws of Justice right here on KKFI 90.1. In the studio with us is Eric Faulkner and Ms. Carla Brewer. And she's going to be sharing with us about Hope Faith Ministries. And our first question to Ms. Brewer is, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I appreciate you having us.
Glad you're here. And one of the first questions that we're going to have that we have for you is, give us a little bit of your background as it relates to your academics.
Well, I'll tell you just a little bit about me. I was born and raised in the neighborhood, and I love serving in the neighborhood. I went to Benedictine College and finished up at Penn Valley, and just have worked in the field for 16 years now, and it's been a blessing.
That's great. So you've been at Hope Faith Ministries for how long?
I've been there for 2 years. I was with Don Bosco Community Center for 14 years, mm-hmm. and the Lord told me it was time. My passion had always been to work with the homeless.
Okay.
And so I listened to him, and I left, and I came to Hope Faith Ministries.
And it takes special people to do what you're doing, and you have to have a heart for that because everyone can't work with the homeless. And so you seem to be right in the right calling. So I know the guys and the people that come through there really appreciate your smile and your services and your understanding of where they're at. So I commend you for doing that. And one of the other things is, tell us a little bit about Hope Faith Ministries.
Okay. Hope Faith Ministries is a day center. Mm-hmm. We do not have shelter there. Mm-hmm. We do not have anyone spend the night there. We are open from 6:30 in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. Thursdays, we close at 1, and then again, Friday and Saturday, we're open from 6:30 to 3. And we just have the basic necessities to begin with. We allow them to take showers. Of course, there's food. We have clothing. We have laundry. We have haircuts. We have a game room. Any of the basic essential things that they need, you know, personal items, hygiene, those types of things to help them get through day to day. And then we also have some other programming that we do with the clients also.
What are some of the programs that you have?
Well, we partner with several different agencies here in the community, Truman, Swope Park, Synergy, Veronica's Voice, New House, many of those agencies, CASA Vets. And then in-house, we have our own culinary arts program, which is it's about a six-week program. And they go through the culinary art classes. At the end of the class, they take the test for the city so they can get their food manager's permit. That way they're ready to go into a restaurant with that information and that licensure that helps them get a good job.
So it's on-hand training?
It is
on-hand.
In
the kitchen?
In the kitchen at Hope Faith Ministries.
That's great. How many clients really reach out for these different services that you have?
Well, in a class for the culinary arts, we have 6 students every time, and it's full every time. We also do like our literacy class, we have that. It's full. It's usually 6 to 8 students. We also have our resume class, and it is filled every time with about 10 students. Mm-hmm. We have our manpower job club class. It takes 10 students also, mm-hmm. and it's always full.
What about, I understand that you have a service for eyes, or like a person needs glasses and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Yes, we
do. Tell us a little bit about that.
We are very blessed to have World Outreach Foundation come in to Hope Faith, mm-hmm. and they do vision clinics do medical clinics at least twice a month. They're on they're in the process of trying to get that more frequent. So they are there every week for our clients. Our vision clinic is done by KC Free Eye Care, and they come in twice a month at this point. They're able to come in. Clients are able to come in, sign up with me to get an appointment. They just come in on Saturdays and get their eyes examined and get their glasses if they need them.
And what are some of the other programs you have?
We have our Bishop Sullivan we work with. We help with their job club program. We're providing shuttle over to Bishop Sullivan. CASA Vets is in-house, and they work with our veterans. I believe it was last Monday we were able to get eight veterans housed. So that was eight homeless guys that are now in their own housing. So we have a therapist that comes in that does addiction and mental health. We have life coaching that comes in and works with clients. So we have a lot of services going on.
Do you still work around with Don Bosco's?
I do not. I still go and visit. I have a lot of good friends there. I still love going to the senior center and seeing all the people there and saying hello. So, but I my heart was with the homeless, and that was where God told me I needed to be.
Could you expound on your lit program?
I'm sorry?
The literary program.
Our literary program is helping teach people to read. And what we're doing is we're working with people that are having a difficulty or have a low learning aptitude for reading, just to help them improve their reading skills.
Tell us a little bit where you're located at.
We are located at 705 Virginia. Mm-hmm. We're right on the corner of Admiral and Virginia, right next to the famous Harold's Drive-In.
I know you alluded to the fact that you have something for the mental illness.
Uh-huh.
And so what do you do to address the homeless that are plagued with mental illness?
Well, we have our therapist in-house that is there and available, but we also work with Truman and Swope with both of their medical or mental illness programs.
Mm-hmm.
They come to Hope Faith weekly. Mm-hmm. And meet with clients and then help get them into programs or seek out whatever services they need for their illnesses.
I see.
So y'all try to get the homeless jobs?
Yes, we do. We do all the time. We always have employers call who will tell us about jobs that they have available, or we work with several different staffing agencies that will let us know who's having a job fair, you know, how many people they're hiring, what they're looking for, and we're always passing that information out and trying to help people get employed.
We just need to let everybody know that you're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
So tell us a little bit more, especially because I have come through there a lot, mm-hmm. and tell us a little bit about the people that kind of hang out around there. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, like I said, Hope Faith was established for the homeless. And sometimes just because you may have a home doesn't necessarily mean that you have the necessities to maintain that home.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the heat may not be on or there's no food in the refrigerator. Hope Faith is really there just to serve the community, irregardless of what your housing status is. We try to help everyone understand that we're there. We'll help you in any way we can. You know, we'll give you the fishing pole. You learn how to fish.
Okay.
You know what I'm
right.
saying?
Right.
But the resources are there, and the staff is wonderful. I mean, the staff is very loving and very caring and willing to go out of their way to do that for each and every one of those clients that walk through the door.
You know, one time I walked in and heard some music and things like that,
mm-hmm.
people on the guitar and piano and really ministering through music.
Yeah.
How do you incorporate that, and who does that?
We have several different churches that come in throughout the week and administer religion and faith and hope to our clients. And they some do it by music, some do it by just preaching, and some make a combination of it. And it really lifts the spirits when they're around. You can really feel the presence of God there and the Holy Spirit, and just moving people and giving them something to think about other than, you know, the doom and gloom.
I noticed you focused that because you said that you're a director of the client services.
Yes, sir.
So basically, what does that entail?
Well, I've had a lot of people ask me that. What doesn't it entail, I guess, is what is probably easiest to say. People kind of come to me when they get there. You know, how do I do this? How do I become homeless, or how do I act homeless, or how do I live homeless? And that's a hard question to answer. There are no rules. You know, I can provide them with the resources, what's available to them, the shelters that they're able to use, you know, job staffing companies. If they need GEDs, I can get them to those programs. If they need mental health, I can get them to those programs. I'm just kind of like a resource. You know, if they need a Band-Aid, I have those. If they need their mail or their prescriptions, or, you know, they need to see a doctor, I can help them understand that we have those services on Saturdays. And if they're looking to go somewhere, you know, a lot of times we get people that have just been released from prison, and they don't know the city. So they don't know where to go or how to get there. And that's kind of what I try to help them with.
I see you have a lot of college students and different little people coming in to serve the community. You know, how do they qualify to come in and serve for the community?
Well, most times they'll just visit our website at hopefaithministries.org, and they'll sign up to volunteer, and they'll come in and they'll do, you know, maybe a day or two or three hours. And we have just had a group that was here from Dallas, Texas, spent the week with us. So they stayed in the mission. We would lock them in at night, and they had a really good time. It's hard with them to see them leave when they've been with you for a week like that. You really develop a relationship with them, and they develop a relationship with the interns and the clients. And it's hard for them to go, but it's also very rewarding and very educational for them, because they came with one idea, but they leave with a whole heart full of different ideas.
They learned a lot.
Yes, yes.
So what about services like bus tickets or bus passes? Do you furnish anything like that if an individual would like to go to work, or they have to go to work? So is that part of your services too?
When we have them, we're more than willing to share them. We are a nonprofit, and we receive no government or federal or any kind of funding like that. So we are strictly on donations. Mm-hmm. So when those services are available, we're more than happy to do that.
So how does that come about in terms of you guys having bus tickets or bus tokens or whatever it's called?
It's the budget.
It's the budget. So
yes.
You buy those tickets.
Those have to be purchased, yes.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
They have to be purchased. I and it's whatever the budget will allow for the month.
I see.
Yes.
So the bus metro doesn't reach out and say give you 25 or 30 of them?
No, they do have a program that we have asked to be a part of that would give us a discount in purchasing those tickets. I don't know for sure if we have been accepted for that program yet, but that would be very beneficial for us. But no, we have to purchase them just like everyone else.
Mm-hmm. So what are the differences between the shirts? When I come over there, I see the blue shirts. I see, you know, all the different shirts. And, you know, I go back in the back to the computer program. That's a nice program that you're running.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you go into depth about the computer program and the blue shirts.
Right. The shirts are just different shirts.
That's all it is. It's just different colors. We're trying to liven up the color scheme in, at Hope Faith.
Right.
Make it a little brighter.
Okay. Well, I just want to remind our listening audience that they're in tune to Jaws of Justice right here on KKFI 90.1. In the studio with us is Miss Carla Brewer. Yeah, we are talking to Miss Carla Brewer, and I'm one of the hosts, along with Eric Faulkner, and my name is Melvin Merritt, and it's just been great talking with Miss Carla Brewer, and she is the Director of Client Services at Hope Faith Ministries. And so she's been talking about many of the services that they provide for the homeless, and even including feeding them and allowing them to kind of hang out there, you know, especially when the weather is bad, and
yes,
and just a place to just be at,
yes,
and get that environment, you know, of having some great company and things like that and great services. Tell us a little bit more about your services that you have. You shared a lot.
I did. I think some of the key things are, you know, we do IDs and birth certificates on Monday mornings. We're allowed to do 5 a week, and that is a huge benefit for our clients. Because, you know, if you lose your ID, you're lost. I mean, you can't do anything. You can't get into programs. You can't, you know, go down and get a job. I mean, it's horrible.
Yeah.
And just the whole process of getting a birth certificate or getting an ID is very difficult for our clients. So we try to help them work through that. It's, you know, another thing is our prescription assistance. I mean, if you don't have money to eat, how are you going to be have money to buy a prescription?
That's right.
And that has been very beneficial for our clients.
That's one of the biggest emphasis that I usually share, you know, where I'm at, and to get their driving license and their mm-hmm. paperwork in order, so that way that they can be able to be employable.
Right.
Because most employers ask the first question is, do you have a driving license? And so that's one of the emphasis when I'm talking to some of the individual, that to get your paperwork in order, not necessarily go get state IDs. Try to focus on your driving license, and if it takes money, start working on that.
Exactly.
And so, you know, I think that's a great service that you emphasize in your in that ministry.
And I think one of the things about Hope Faith that makes us unique is that I think they know we care.
Mm-hmm.
We're there for a reason, and the entire staff has a heart and a passion for what they're doing, and I truly believe our clients understand that. They know that. They know that there's someone there that cares about them and wants to see them do better and help them along that way, if at all possible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, sometimes it's just knowing that you have one person that cares.
Right, without a doubt. So you have a resume class, too?
We do. We do. It's doing really well.
Is it?
Yes, it is. We have about 10 people in that class. It's about 4 weeks long, and we'll do some mock interviewing during that time and just get everybody ready so they can start looking up those jobs and get out there and see what we can help them do.
So what type of success are you having in terms of the clients coming back and saying thank you for, you know, the service that you have provided for me, and I've gotten a job, got my driving license, and things like that? So
we hear those stories every day.
Okay.
And sometimes it might even just be somebody that walks in with a brand new set of keys to that apartment, or they've been down to Department of Revenue, DOR, and gotten that ID or that driver's license, and they come in and they've got that card and they're showing us, or, you know, it's just knowing that they have it. And we hear those stories every day, and I think that's what keeps the staff coming back, is to know, you know, we can't change the world, but we can sure make our little piece of it better.
That's right.
And that's what we work to do every day.
And, you know, a lot of times we take those kinds of things for granted, driving license right. and being able to get up from out of a clean bed.
Right, toothbrushes.
Yeah, toothbrushes.
Yes, deodorant. Like
that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And when people begin to start achieving that in their life, especially after they have experienced homelessness, and it's almost like a kid in a cookie jar.
It is.
They come back and they want to show you their driving license and their keys and
yes.
stuff like that. And, you know, you just got to, you know, you got to jump up and down for them.
You do.
Know?
And I do.
Yeah.
I do. I share. We as staff know our clients.
Mm-hmm.
We share in the good times and we share in the bad times with them. And I think that's kind of what makes us a little unique there is that they come and share either one. They share with, you know, the good times that they've had and the rough times that they're going through. But they know that we're there and we will walk with them and hold their hand and be beside them and just there to support them in whatever
yeah,
way.
Show heart.
We do.
Yeah, without that. Because that's our community.
Yes.
You know, I grew up down in Wayne Manor.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Don Bosco's as a little kid.
Right.
You know, and I see a lot of great work you're doing. You know, I see you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see your workers too, but I really see you. You're really out there. You know, and I appreciate you doing that for the community.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Like I said, it's God's will, not my will.
So what type of counseling, you know, do you have a counseling session to re-educate the clients, you know, in terms of what they should do to get out of that culture?
We really don't have a class. A lot of that's just done one-on-one.
Okay.
Because every person has a different situation. And if, to generalize that would be extremely hard.
Mm.
But there's a lot of one-on-one time and talking that goes on. And like I said, we do have a therapist there for addiction and mental health. We do work with Swope and Truman with their outreach and mental health programs where we can get them into case management also.
Were you in tune to Jaws of Justice? You're listening to an audience. We're in the studio talking to Miss Carla Brewer, and she's sharing some things at Hope Faith Ministries, and she's the director of client services. And so she's been sharing some great things that they're doing at the Hope Faith Ministries. And tell us the location again, and let's say, for instance, maybe a parent or a family member would like to get their son, their daughter involved in your services. Could you give a number and things like that, your
sure.
information?
Sure. Hope Faith Ministries is located at 705 Virginia. We sit right on the corner of Admiral and Virginia. Our phone number is 816-471-4673.
Great. So if someone was interested and they would call you, and who would they call and ask for?
They can just call the main line, and then whatever their questions are, most of the time they can be answered by the lady that answers the phone.
Mm-hmm.
If not, they'll be directed to whomever they need to speak with.
Is there a website?
There is. It's hopefaithministries.org.
.org. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they can pull that website up and
yes.
and see. Do they have picture galleries or anything?
We do have some pictures on there. We also have a Facebook. You can find us on Facebook under Hope Faith Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
There's some great pictures there, a lot of volunteers and having fun and all that kind of stuff there.
Twitter.
Twitter, yes, we do twit. I don't twit. I haven't learned how. I'm a little old, but I'm getting there.
Right, right. Sound great. So with the services that you're doing, especially with your feeding, you may mention that you feed the homeless. How many days out of the week, you said?
We're actually open 7 days a week.
Okay.
Hope Faith runs the facility for 6 days a week, and then we have a church that comes in on Sunday and opens up for breakfast, and then they have a service. And then they're closed after that.
Hmm. So you're feeding every day.
We are.
That's great. That's great. So they have something to look forward to when they do get up, say,
yes.
for instance, after the, underneath the freeway or something,
right.
because you are dealing with the homeless.
This week we're actually having our graduates from the past culinary art class. They're cooking their meals today, or this week, excuse me. And so it'll be a little treat for everyone.
That's great. That's great.
great. So you have a clothing pantry too also, right?
We do. We have clothing. We have emergency clothing throughout the week, and then on Saturdays we have our clothing shops are open from 9:30 to 11:30. And people are more than welcome to come in and
like shoes.
Shoes, coats. You know, personal hygiene items, whatever those items may be that they're looking for, hopefully we can have them or find them.
And is that a library y'all have back there?
We do have a library. Yes, that's where we're holding our literary classes. And we've opened up the library. We've set it up. It's kind of in a quiet area so people can have some quiet time to sit and read and just sometimes just to go in there and be quiet, you know, just to relax and get away.
You mentioned classes. What type of classes are there?
Like I stated earlier, we have our culinary arts class, we have our literacy class, we have our resume class, and we have our Manpower Job Club going on currently. We are seeking desperately to get a GED class at Hope Faith. Mm-hmm. That's one of the new programs that we're really searching for.
So you're doing that in the library of your
They're in the facility, different areas of the facility.
Different areas. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's great. So in that process that they are learning, is there a certain set time that they're in there?
Each one of the programs have their own times. I believe our resume class is on Tuesdays from 10 to 11:30. Culinary arts is also on Tuesdays. I believe it begins at 10 and ends around noon. Literary class is, I think, Wednesday afternoon. You're getting me now on my schedule.
So if an individual is interested, but just come in and
Just come on in. Mm-hmm. We also have Happy Bottoms, mm-hmm. which is a diaper program, assistance program. Mm-hmm. We give out between 9,000 to 13,000 diapers a month.
Remember, you've been in tune to Jaws of Justice right here on KKFI. In our studio, we have been talking to Ms. Carla Brewer. She is the Director of Client Services at Hope Faith Ministries. And I have been your host, Melvin Merritt, along with our main host is Mr. Eric Faulkner, and this is his first broadcast, so he's been doing a fantastic job.
Yes.
And so we'll see you the next time. Have a great day.
And now the calendar of March 24th. The Veterans Administration is holding a Veterans Benefit Fair and Resource Expo, Saturday, March 29th, 9 a.m. to noon at the VA Medical Center. 4801 Linwood Boulevard, KCMO. Learn about the benefits you have earned and the community resources available to veterans and their families. You will need to bring a copy of your DD-214 with you. Veterans that do not have health insurance can sign up at the VA and meet the requirements of the Affordable Health Care Act. Advocates and citizens that want to know about hearings and legislation that pertains to the Criminal Justice Code, law enforcement, prisons, and reentry can join Representative Brandon Ellington April 5th, 11:30 to 1 p.m. at the Brush Creek Community Center, 3801 Emmanuel Cleaver II Boulevard, KCMO. Representative Ellington will give updates on bills in the House and take suggestions on changes to legislation or possible new legislation. The Racial Justice Committee of the All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church is sponsoring a multiracial book circle reading of Michelle Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness. Each group will consist of 8 to 12 members that will read and discuss the book. For more information, contact Janet Brown Moss at 816-695-0033. Or email janetbridgeworks@gmail.com. My name is Keith Brownie, reminding you that these events and more can be found on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page, as well as the Jaws of Justice Radio page on the KKFI website, kkfi.org.
Welcome back to Jaws of Justice Radio here on KKFI. My name is Jeff Humfeld, and with me now is Richard Tripp, Director of Care of Poor People. And we're going to talk to Richard about COPS Spring Break for the Homeless. Richard, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Jeff.
Well, it's good to talk to you this morning. You have your semi-annual event coming up here in a few weeks. What is the date for that and what
time? The
times?
Date is Saturday, April 19th. It will be at the Scottish Rites Building at 1330 East Linwood. Now, this is roughly the 30th year I've been in business, you might say, and we're expecting a couple thousand people down there to the event.
All right. What kind of things are people going to find when they show up to this, and who is it that you're trying to get to attend?
Well, we get the homeless of Kansas City and the poor to attend. And what we do is we hand them out clothing that people have donated to us. We have Kansas City's biggest potluck dinner. We have live music. It's more or less a celebration of life for Kansas City's poor and homeless that they get once a year.
All right. You usually have a music and stuff like that. Do you have a band lined up for this year yet?
Oh, yeah. We have the Cheap Dates, one of Kansas City's better bands. I mean, these guys are phenomenal. And they come in and they donate their time to help us.
All right. Talking,
we need lots of volunteers on Friday the 18th and Saturday the 19th to put everything together.
Well, where would somebody go to find out about that and you know, give their time? And are you looking just for individuals, or are you looking for congregations or
everything,
youth groups,
we
or
take
whatever?
Anybody. We got something for everybody to do. One thing about it, if you come to one of these events, you'll find out real fast. What we get, we only can give out what we get. But anything we do have, if somebody out there needs it, they can get it. I mean, it's simple as that. We don't ask for ID and all this other stuff that other organizations do. I personally don't believe that's how I was supposed to run things. It's simple. If they need it and we got it, they get it.
Okay. Let's say somebody's got some extra clothing and they missed the truck from one of the other places that are going around all the time, and they want to get it down to COP. How would they do that, and where would they take it?
Okay. I will have a van set up at 1330 East Linwood on April 17th, 18th, and 19th, and they can drop their donations off right there. Or on the 19th, they can drop off any casserole, meat dishes, any type of food they'd like to drop off for the meal that day.
All right. That is kind of, I think you've labeled that the biggest potluck in the city.
Oh, it is. We have roughly 50 table long food line that people come through. And believe me, we can use all the food we can get from the public. I mean, make your dishes up, have your congregation make dishes up, bring them down. We put them on the table and everybody has fun.
All right. You also get donations from, you know, restaurants and businesses, and I believe Tippins or one of them, one of the pie companies here in town usually brings a bunch of pies down.
Right.
Is that online again this year?
Oh, yeah, that's online. And I just got confirmation yesterday that our big tent that we have to rent that costs us a ton of money, somebody has donated it this year.
Oh, that's great.
So that's going to help.
Yeah, that's usually that goes over the top of the food area where you sit down and eat, so that,
right,
you know, if the weather is a little bit rainy or whatever, you have a place to sit where it's dry and hopefully it will be warm by that time.
Well, by the 19th it ought to be.
Yes, and that's the 19th of this month?
No, April. April 19th.
April 19th, okay. We want to make sure we get that down. What other things are you doing in preparation for this, and what other things can people do to help you out?
Well, one of the things that's going to be new this year is why we're doing the event at the same time. We got an organization coming in, and we're going to have a job fair right there at the site.
Great.
And
well, does that mean that, folks should, you know, make sure they bring, you know, if they have a resume or they have other documents that they need, would need?
Well, I believe the job fair, they're going to have all their own documentation there. So people won't have to bring anything. They can sign up.
Are you there, Richard?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. We lost you there for a second. I think maybe a connection on the phone. So, well, if they do have their resume, though, I would say that would be something they would want to bring.
If they haven't got it, don't worry about it, because there'll be people to help them make them.
Okie doke.
Right down there at the place.
So that is new. Who is it that's holding that part of the thing, doing that?
You know, I haven't got that organization's name right in front of me. They just contacted me Friday, so.
Okay. Once again, if this is the Care of Poor People's Spring Break for the Homeless, and it will be at the Scottish Rite at 1330 East Limwood Boulevard in KCMO. That's right there at Limwood and Paseo.
And people can go to our website at www.copinc.com to check on the festivities.
Yep, and that's April 17th.
April 19th.
April 19th is the event, but there's help needed on the 17th, 18th, and 19th.
Right.
And that is where you would go to that. To the spot there on Linwood, right? If
right.
you want to help.
I'll be there.
And there is a need for all sorts of different types of work, sorting clothes and putting together the boxes and packages of different
hygiene
articles and the like, you know, setting up tables and all that kind of thing. So there is a need for folks to come down and help out. Richard, once again, why don't you let people know who you're targeting, who you're trying to bring in, and how you go about letting those folks know.
Okay, for the last 30 years, roughly, I've run a program twice a year. And most of the homeless, most of the poor know about it by now. I mean, I've done enough media. But they come down and they get whatever materials they need. This spring event, we especially need spring-type clothing articles, summer-type clothing articles, like T-shirts and short-sleeve shirts, shoes, socks, anything like that for men, women, and children. And what we do is we give it all away that day between 12 and 4. If you're in need, come down to us. We'll give you what we got. We're kind of lucky because we have Planet Aid helped us. They give us used clothing that we hand out, too. Well, but it takes all we can get in order to cover the amount of people we get.
All right, Richard, why don't you real quickly give us how they can contact you and find out more?
Okay, they can contact me by either going to our website at copinc.com or going to Facebook, the Richard G. Tripps page, and I have all the information there, too.
Okie dokie. Well, we want to thank you very much for coming on and wish you a lot of success with your event this year.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff.
All right.
I'm Elizabeth Anderson, and I am here with our guest, Rebecca Castor of the Kansas City Police Department. And would you like to tell what your title is and how long you've had it?
Sure thing. My name is Rebecca Castor. I'm a police officer for the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department. I am currently appointed as the LGBT liaison for the police department, and it has been a little bit over a year since we've gotten that position in place.
I remember when the Like Me Lighthouse celebrated its first anniversary, and Mayor Sly James was there, and he mentioned that an LGBT community liaison was coming on, and everybody clapped. It was a big deal. Why did the department decide to add this position?
You know, that's an interesting question. I am not 100% for sure why they chose to finally do it. I do know that several of the community groups have reached out to the police department in the past, and they didn't deem it necessary or needed at that time. But I do know that under Chief Daryl Forte, he saw the need for it, and when he makes a decision, it goes through. It was probably about 6 weeks after he made the decision that I was appointed.
That's quick.
Yes.
Well, if you were to write a short one-paragraph description of what your job is, what would you say?
We have positions in the department, and they're called community interaction officers. They work at each division station. I would say I'm pretty similar to that, except that I work with the LGBT community. And that spans all over Kansas City. But community groups will ask me to come and speak or come attend an event, or sometimes we'll have victims of a crime that will feel more comfortable talking to me, and I'll respond and do my best to make them feel as comfortable as I can.
And you mentioned groups. Do you speak to schools? Do you speak to not-for-profits? Do you ever speak to corporations? What kind of speaking do you do?
Honestly, I don't know that I've turned anybody down that has requested me to come speak. Sometimes I do have scheduling conflicts because I still work in patrol, and you know that's 40 or 50 hours a week, kind of depending on the week. But they've been working their best with trying to get me to attend meetings. Sometimes it's, you know, while I'm on duty, so I'll have to kind of leave my patrol area and then run down, do that, and then come back and go answer my 911 calls. So it's putting on one hat and then putting on another hat, and you're just kind of, you know, getting back and forth with. When you're answering calls for service, it's a different persona than when you're just sitting and talking to somebody. And so sometimes it's kind of turning a light switch on and off.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
That's switching gears.
Absolutely.
If you do it too many times in a day, it can really.
Absolutely.
What is your background? Are you originally from Kansas City, and what led you to this position?
Born and raised north of the river, been in Kansas City my whole life, came on the police department in 2002, graduated the academy in 2003, had been in patrol for years, and then I went to the Police Athletic League, and, you know, they're non-for-profit, and they work with inner-city youth, and I really enjoyed it there. But I had a calling to come back to patrol, and went back to patrol. But they put out information in our Daily Informant, which is our newsletter, and they were asking for people to volunteer to be the liaison, and they had a great response. And honestly, I don't know why they chose me to this day, but I am thankful that they did, and seems that they're happy with their decision, too.
And do you find yourself on occasion having to explain the Kansas City LGBT community to people who may not even be aware that it exists? They may know a person or they may not know a person, but do you occasionally have to explain, well, this is who we are?
Oh, absolutely. And it's been interesting since I've been appointed, how many of my coworkers are just so much more willing to stop and ask me a question. And I never turn down a question. I never make anybody feel bad for asking me a question. I think it speaks volumes that they're even willing to come to me and ask me, whereas before they never would have. They never would have gotten their questions answered. So I don't mind it one bit. It's really opened up a line of communication between other officers and the community as well.
Sometimes just having a visible point person makes all the difference, because someone can say, that's an interesting question. Why don't you go ask Rebecca Castor?
Absolutely. And I just let them know that there's nothing that they can ask me that is, it's not going to offend me. I may not always agree with their opinion, and we do get in debate sometimes, and everybody, that's the great thing about America, everybody's entitled to their opinion and their beliefs, and I would never tell somebody that they were wrong for what they believe as long as they don't tell me I'm wrong for what I believe.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Do you happen to know how many other cities have such a position in the police department?
You know, I am just personally aware that I believe that it was right around 20, but you know, there's so many smaller agencies that I would have absolutely no idea. I know Santa Fe sent two officers to Kansas City last fall to job shadow me. because they were interested in setting up this position. And they came to Kansas City and they got to experience Shout that was put on over by Social.
Yes.
And I was glad that they got to see a community event and see people come together in an organized manner. And they really enjoyed it. And now they have a liaison position out there. So it's kind of nice to see that it's affecting other departments.
And have you worked with all different ages? Have you worked with individual youth or groups or schools? And have you worked with, you know, older people?
Well, I haven't been in the schools, but, you know, I've gone to Like Me Lighthouse a few times and talked to the kids there. They're very receptive. I've talked to people from Promo. KCAVP has worked with us closely. They've offered training at our in-service, and to stand up in front of a group of 50 police officers, that's very intimidating, and I really give them a lot of credit because I would be intimidated.
I have actually, Jessica has been on the show, and
great.
The Kansas City Anti-Violence Project. I've heard them speak to PFLAG, and yeah, they are, and they talk about all the problems that youth face, and you know how you would deal with the court system, and how you would deal with hostile parents, and they seem to have a handle on all the aspects.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, with their organization, they encourage people from our community to report, but there's still a little a lack of trust there, maybe worried that the media might grab hold of it if it's a hate crime or something to that effect, and the next thing you know, you've got, you know, the news station's out in your front yard, and, you know, who wants the spotlight on them like that? Not too many people. But I always try to encourage that if we don't know there's a problem, then we can't fix it. And honestly, our numbers don't show that there's a lot of hate crimes going on. And I know personally through my friends that there are. They're just not reporting the stuff. And it's not about prosecution. They don't have to prosecute. But if they would just make the report, so that somebody acknowledges that it happened.
I have friends who have not wanted to report anything because they didn't want the publicity. They were afraid it would get out there, and they just said, leave me alone. I'll just deal on my own. But I don't know. That can have repercussions later.
Oh, well, absolutely.
You know, PTSD or...
Oh, absolutely. And the thing is that our numbers don't show that these things are happening. And... You know, I know personally they are, and it's so frustrating because we're a statistic-driven, you know, organization. We look at charts and graphs, and we put our officers where there's problems. And when we don't know that there's problems, how do we address it? You know, I mean, our police department really does want to protect our community and our residents, and the LGBT community is part of that, and they are backing of this community and want to offer services, but how do we do that if we don't know what we need?
Well, how has this new position affected you personally? How has it changed you?
I was never really outspoken about so many things. I really sheltered and kept my personal life very private, even to my coworkers. Since I've taken on this position, there's no question about whether or not I'm a lesbian, whether or not I have a girlfriend, things like that. But honestly, it's made me realize how many supportive people there are. It's so nice to be able to go to work and talk about my home life and not have to say that Brianna's my roommate or, you know, my friend or, you know, it's allowed me to be me. And I don't know how to explain how comforting that is. And you just can relax. The downside is that people know my face.
Mm-hmm.
And not all people are nice.
Right.
And so, you know, there are times that I worry that by being so, putting myself out there might have repercussions. It's still worth it to me because I'm representing the police department, and I love my job and I love my department, and I'm also representing our community, and I just hope that people realize how close-knit our community really is, and that we back each other up and we're there for each other.
What's cool is it sounds as if someone did accost you, your fellow officers, many of them, would swing in to support you.
Absolutely. They're like my big brothers or sisters. I mean, it's a secondary family for sure.
And you had mentioned talking to people. Have you had much interest from the media? Have you had to deal with television or newspaper, or have you been able to...
I've had invitations to come speak on different shows and be interviewed, things like that, newspaper articles. Some I've been able to accept, some I haven't, just because scheduling conflicts. It's not because I don't want to go talk to them or, you know, I'm not interested in it. It's just, you know, I got a lot of things on my plate, I guess.
Of course. Well, I really appreciate your coming in today and talking to us. And I think it's something to be proud of that Kansas City has an LGBT community liaison.
Absolutely. We're moving forward, and we want to keep that moving forward. And I just hope people know that if they need to talk to somebody and they feel comfortable coming to me, then please do. I will take the time.
And how would they reach you? What would be the best way to do that?
My department email, and I believe that it's at, well, we're in the process of kind of changing our websites over.
It's always the way, isn't it?
Yeah, but it was kcpd.org, but I think they're kind of merging with kcmo.org. So the information will be on one of those websites. I think it'll forward you to it. So.
And the department would be which department in the police department?
If they're getting ready to put a link, actually, for the LGBT liaison. I should be going in within the next week or two and getting them all the information and getting my photo taken, which I don't like very much, but I will do it.
At least you're photogenic.
I don't know if I'll agree with that, but thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
You enjoy today's show and that we leave you with something to think about, something to talk to your neighbors about, and a reason to get involved. As always, the opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests of Jaws of Justice Radio, not of KKFI, the Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated, its staff, or volunteers. You can find our calendar of events and a link to our show episodes and podcasts on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page. If you have a show idea or want to help produce the show, email us at jawsofjusticeradio@yahoo.com. And you can always listen to us live on the KKFI website, kkfi.org. We thank our engineer Mike Murphy, host of the Wednesday Morning Buzz. Please tune in for the rest of our 9 a.m. weekday lineup with Law and Disorder on Tuesday, Alternative Radio on Wednesday, Tell Somebody with Tom Clemmer on Thursday, and Between the Lines at 9 a.m., followed by Bioneers at 9:30 a.m. on Friday. Up next is Beautician's Blues with Luscious Lynn and at noon, Arts Magazine with Michael Hoag. Stick around for jazz and blues in the afternoon and Echo Radio KC at 6 p.m. Then round out your day with the spicy Latin sounds of Sabor Latino and Siesta Music.
It's the 420 Drug War News. This is part three of a presentation given to Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition by Talia Michelle, dealing with the subject of autism and other childhood illnesses, the use of marijuana.
Okay, and let's just say we don't want to give the kids THC. Fine. What about THCA? Did you know that that's a precursor? It's the acidic precursor to THC, and it is non-psychoactive. Non-psychoactive. And it has a lot of the same calming effects and the same, it works on the endocannabinoid system in the same way as THC. What's wrong with that? Why should a parent, my friend, who's committing a felony, be at risk of going to CPS the way the judge up here was earlier talking about? Why is she at risk to go through that system that he's talking about? Because she wants to help her daughter, who has had three lobotomies already. That child's had three brain surgeries already. This is their last hope, and the state of Texas is going to turn around and tell her that she can't? I've got a problem with that. I have a big problem with that. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to rally my mamas. Yeah. I'm going to rally my mamas. My mamas are super strong. They've been watching their kids suffer many, many, many years. And they've been wiping, excuse my language, they've been wiping shit off of their 12-year-olds for a long time. And they're tired. And they want some answers. And they want some changes. And I'm going to have those mamas walk into their churches and have a sit-down with their pastors. And I'm going to have those mamas educate those pastors and explain to them, we aren't talking about smoking dope for these children. We are talking about oils and tinctures, extracts, healing, a healing plant, a miraculous God-given plant, a precious gift given to us from above. And they're going to explain how these things work and how it can help their child. And they're going to ask those pastors to pray for them. And then we're going to ask those pastors to contact their state officials on behalf of the mothers. Because one thing I know is that Texas is red, and Texas will not turn green until red says so. So I'm going after educating the pastors and the churches and asking them to educate the legislators.
Again, that was Talia Michelle. You can find her out there on Facebook under Warrior Mom. This is Dean Becker, DrugTruth.net.